Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome all to an exclusive one-on-one interview with Da'i Ahmed Mu'eed. An up-close and personal interview to get to know the man behind the message he is spreading. Never before asked questions in order for someone to realize how a man just like us, an average man, becomes an inviter to Allah. I welcome the audience today, and I guess we could start with some basic history of your life, Da'i. Now, I read on your website you were born in Egypt. At what age did you emigrate to America?
Close to 22.
I see, and your intention to emigrate to America was?
Just for vacation, 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't for the, many people in the Muslim world emigrate to America for financial gain, for a better life, more opportunity.
I came in here just as a escape trip after my father died, and I have some family crisis, and I felt like I want really change the environment and see what I can do.
Interesting. I see. And when you came to America, what was the beginning of your life in America? Can you talk about a little about how you first started in America?
I came with supposed to be a friend of mine, and after a few days he borrowed my money, and after that he lost it. This is my start.
I see. That, a common issue that happens very often to many other people as well. In America, did you? What was your first career? Did you build a lifestyle as far as marriage, settling down, occupation? Can you take us into the beginning, the early 20s for Ahmed Mu'eed?
I start like anybody else with basic work, construction, handyman. I have a lot of knowledge in life. By this way, I did everything from carpentering, painting, carpeting, ground, you name it, I did. And during this time, I was hungry to go back to my field, electronics, and I went to join one of the colleges, and when I want to register the person who interviewed me, they asked me about what is my background. I tell them my background, my education, and what I learned. And the young lady, she said to me, according to what I'm hearing, you're looking for a job more than education. I said, please, this what is my aim. And she took me to a man. He is responsible of finding jobs for the student. He liked me. He was American Italian. Very nice young man. And he helped me a lot to find a job. And my first job was in Syosset, Long Island, in Adamco Alarm System. And this was 1980. And from there, they have some strike. And my manager during this time, he wanted to leave and he wanted me to be the manager. And believe it or not, one man came to me in the lunchtime with a gun and he put it in my head and he told me, if you take this job, I kill you. And at this moment, I start in a struggle between principle and hasty life. And one lady, she advised me, is not worth it. to hassles people with a low brain and hustler. Look for another job. I look for another job, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for me Digital Equipment Corporation, and this was 1981. And this one, I start my career as a computer engineer.
Interesting. So is it fair to say, like many other immigrants new to a country, you started with odds and end jobs, you know, whatever you could find, and worked your way up to a computer engineer career? So you have a lot in common with many average immigrants that come to this country. After you started working with this computer company, where did life take you?
Life took me so quick. From training after training, position after position, hungry to elevate the ladder of status. I make a lot of money in a short time. I have a status. My company give me a company car, brand new every 6 months. I bought my own personal happy car, and it was antique Mercedes-Benz. Somebody bought it from German. And I drift in dunya. And this was the age between 22 to 24. And during this drifting, too many things happened to me. I have 3 accidents, one after another. One, I was going to visit some people in Pennsylvania, and my car fell down from the mountain. But I was alive. I only have ribs broken and different bruises. A few months later, I'm coming from one of my jobs in upstate New York after midnight in a snowstorm, and I slide into an accident already done, and my car was stalled completely, but still I came alive. After 1 week, I left some food over the oven, and the whole house almost was on fire. And again, I felt like a message. You should be dead, or you could be dead. You should be dead, or you could be dead. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the message? And at this moment, I felt it. Like I was going really to slide into material life so fast. And during this time, it was like beginning of 84, 85. I bought a house in upstate in a small village called Pine Bush, New York, which is approximately a couple of hours north of New York City. And I moved there with a new job, new title. But dunya was going too fast. And in my heart, like no contentment of the status of dunya. And I want you to clear about that. No contentment of the status of dunya, meaning I was not happy. I have cars, house, money, status, getting married, anything anybody can imagine. But deep inside, my soul was empty. Empty, insecure. And the more I gain, the more insecurity I have in my side. And I start, even at this time, like spend some time alone. Because my house was in the front of a mountain. And I can spend some time without, I do not see nobody. And I start calling Allah, please help me out. What is the message? What you want to tell me? And during this time, I hate my status of dunya. It's growing too fast, but I hate it. And this was building up.
So you were married, owned your own house, had a good job, well paying, had many experiences in life, and had, we could honestly say, almost like the old American dream. An immigrant comes to this country, works hard, gets a break, and has all the luxuries that a man needs. Now, at what point after you started feeling the feelings of emptiness and the feelings of dunya, what changed?
My roots inside of my heart, many times from my childhood, I went in a roller coaster between dunya and akhirah, between material life and the journey of iman, to be closer to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe He calling me. Every time I drift, He really calling me by His own way, by His ultimate wisdom. And He make me realize in the right time. It's not me, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this way, I never was really into style of life. I had it, but I do not love it, I do not enjoy it. By this way, I believe by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I went back to my roots. The roots belong to Iman. And when I start having a family, I look for environment. I look for anybody to make me closer to Allah. I look for any religious people. And I keep looking, and it was very tough. At this moment, I meet one person who lead me to another person who asked me advice, or he give me advice. And he tell me, you have two options in this life. Either you join good people, or you generate the environment of good people. But don't be staying alone. At this moment, I start searching, gather my knowledge again, start developing myself, call it awareness and awakeness, of my soul and my journey of Iman and my journey of knowledge. At this time, I used to go to one masjid in Wappinger Falls, New York, and I used to be very quiet. I do not talk. And little by little, people asked me to talk, and people asked me to come to their houses and talk for them. And little by little, my journey of Dawah started.
What was the reaction of the people in your life when this journey began, as far as friends, loved ones, co-workers, neighbors? What was the reaction of the Ahmad Mu'eed before and the Ahmad Mu'eed beginning his journey?
All of a sudden, I called, or they called me, crazy. Something happened to you. Somebody did something to you. And little by little, I become alienated. But this alienation, I like it. Because I discover the majority of people around me was fake. Everybody know me for a meal, for a company, for a weekend, for happy hour, for whatever you call it. But all of them has one thing in common. They were not real. It's fake. And once you develop your journey of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes your eyeglasses. He gives you a new lens. A lens you can see whom is what. And at this time, not by me, only by Allah. He make Iman beloved to me. He made the journey of Iman is beloved to me more than anybody else. And I realize my journey of Iman, I should cherish it, value it above anybody in my family, or even in my own, or even my own wife and kids. I felt at this time, everybody used me as a consumer. They're consuming for me whatever they want. But I ask myself, what I'm producing? And one day, I was coming from work in the middle of the day, because sometimes I work at night, third shift, and a big, huge trailer coming from a farm And I used to look in the trailer. It's a huge, it's almost brand new. But coming from the farm, what it carry? To rent a trailer like that is a lot of money. And I found out it could carry manure. It carry the cow stuff. And I said to myself, the cow stuff is very precious. To the point I am renting a big trailer. Meaning, whoever rent this trailer, he will make money. And whoever deliver this trailer, he make money. And whoever sell this product, he make money. And whoever pay for all this money, they're going to make money. And all that for manure of a cow. At this moment, I said to myself, a cow is a producer, and I am a consumer. A cow, the creation of the creator in earth to serve us, is a producer, and I am the human being, the most elevated creature in earth. I am a consumer only. What I'm producing? I ask myself, what I done in this earth? The cow is doing a lot. It giving milk daily. It take care about the ground. It filters the ground. And people eat the meat, the leather, the bone, the gelatin. Everything from it is useful. And even the manure, the leftover from her own bowel movement is so useful and so expensive. And I find out it enter almost 300 to 3,000 product from chemical to agriculture to medicine. And I said, Subhanallah, praise to Allah. The cow is very useful in this earth. And who am I? What I'm doing? And this was a big wake-up call for me.
Going back to the reaction of the family, when you started your journey, and along your journey, what personal sacrifices have you made in your life in order to become the man you are today? An inviter to Allah.
Many times in my life, I have a choice between escalating myself in the escalator of dunya, material life, go higher, making more money, having more position, accumulating more material, or the journey of Iman and Dawah to Allah. And I find out it's very difficult to make them. Very difficult to mix both road. One going north, the another one going south. And I came to a conclusion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, O Ali, if Allah use you to be the cause of guiding one person, is better for you than the whole earth and what it contains. At this moment, the most beloved goal I have in my life is to invite people to Islam. And I was reading a book about death called At-Tadhkira, the reminder of the journey of death by Imam Qurtubi. And something hit me. Whom will be the saved one from the touch of Allah in the Day of Judgment? I was young. I commit sins. I was not pure. And I was so scared where I'm going. What kind of good deed can cleanse me? And I find out is not too many good deeds can do it for me. One of the good deeds I discovered, it was so powerful, beloved to Allah, to invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this become my goal. My goal first, to save myself. To save myself from hellfire, to save myself from the torture of the grave, to save myself from bad ending. To make a U-turn, to try to to walk in earth, to spread the word of Allah. And one day I came to hadith of Rasulullah, some of the meaning of, if Allah love a servant, He make him go back to all the earth and all the area he committing sins above it, and He make him spread goodness and do pious things. By this way, the earth will be erased from the sign of his own sins. And the more Allah opened for me, the more I love to be inviter to Allah. And at this moment, sacrificing the material life was not so big to me. It was easy. But let me tell you, it's easy for whom Allah make it easy for them. First, you have to value. You have to value whom you're working for and what kind of job you're doing. And this when I start.
So is it fair to say that you were an average American hardworking man with a family, a house, children, like many of us are? Because the goal of this interview, from my point of view, is to relate how, like many of us today, Muslims in America, we all have careers, jobs, goals, families, and the goal is to rise above that and to serve Allah. So you weren't a man just like any average man at that age, beginning a journey. These days, when you hear a speaker or a sheikh or an inviter, you say, you know, oh, what level are they on? What level are they? It's so far away. The goal of this interview is to bring us closer, to give hope to a person that is sitting, that isn't happy in their everyday life, that has luxuries that you had, that has a home like you had, that has a family, a married life, wealth. So, based on that theme, do you feel like you're somewhat blessed to be able to rise above the material things in life and work towards your goal?
Word blessed is true. And I never forget chapter Al-Qasas in Quran, the stories, verse, if my memory is correct, 68 or 64, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create and He choose. And I used to look at that verse and cry, Allah create and He choose. And I used to cry to Allah and said, please choose me. Choose me to be for you. Choose me to be a producer for you. Don't make me belong to material life. Don't make me a slave of this dunya and the material life. Oh Allah, please, I beg you, take me out from the slavery of all the material life to the reality of and the beauty of your slave to you, Ya Allah. I keep begging Allah for that for years. And I believe if you are sincere, honest, and you want something, Allah will give it to you, good or bad. But the lucky one, the happy one, the blessed one, the one who leaves this dunya and he died with a legacy to make this earth witness to him, not against him.
Just to clarify for some of our viewers and our listeners today, before you came to America, in Egypt or in America, have you ever attended any religious school, any school of higher learning, to learn Islam, Sunnah, Islamic law, anything?
Never. Because in my time, the majority of Egyptian at this time was really bye-bye. We grew up in a time religion was not a part of our life. If somebody was a little bit religious or pray sometime in the masjid, this was wow. Maybe he's dying. By this way, it was a journey planned, prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I never been in any Islamic school.
Forgive me for this question, but I have to ask. If you were stuck on an island with one person, who would it be?
If you're stuck in an island with one person, only one?
Only one.
Now or before?
The question's open.
Amir Anurullah,
my answer to that would be why?
Soul. I always attracted to a certain soul. Because today, we do not value the company of souls. Before we company each other physically, we company each other spiritually.
Now, you've obviously dedicated your life to inviting people to Allah, spreading the message of Islam. You've created a website, you're a producer of a website with that goal and focus, and all your efforts seem to be on spreading Islam and being an inviter to Allah, to invite people to their Lord. Now, if you died today, what would you want to be remembered for? When someone said, Da'i Ahmad Mu'id, what would you want them to think?
Believe in Allah. Trust in Allah. Rely on Allah. Have faith in Allah. Go back to Allah. Allah is so generous. So beautiful. We do not know Allah. If you know Allah, you will never love anybody except Allah. You need Him now. You need Him in the moment of death. You need Him after death.
Now, I've seen you give many speeches, produce many DVDs, you know, and all your efforts of spreading Islam. Now, when you go to a speech or when you go to a gathering with young Muslims or an audience, or even if it's a one-on-one setting, and you try and deliver your message, but it's not hitting home. What do you do when you try and spread the true message that you believe in? I mean, not everyone is ready, willing, and able to receive. What do you do when you believe so much in that message and you're unable to communicate it to other parties? How do you feel? And what do you do when you have a setback or a roadblock like that?
I believe this is me. Me, the one I do not have the quality. me, the sinner, the weak, and I say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. No power and no strength without the power of Allah. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Is no one except you, my Lord. Praise to you, and I am among the oppressor one. By this way, I put my head down. I remember who am I. I remember Allah is the opener. Allah is the guider. He opened for whom He wants in the time He wants. And also, I have to believe without no doubt. I am here with the wisdom. They listen or not. Maybe they listen later. Maybe 30 years from now. Maybe 20 years from now. I will not have doubt in my effort. I always believe my effort has a value and has a wisdom, even if I do not see it. And I make dua to Allah to put barakah, blessing, and acceptance, and light and wisdom in what I say and what I do.
My next question is one that led me to want to conduct this interview. This is a question I've been asking myself ever since I met you and read your work and heard your message. First thing I said to myself was, this religion of ours has so many parts and aspects to it. There's the oneness of Allah. There's the Prophet, peace be upon him. There's prayer. There's the obvious five pillars of charity. There's Quran. There's Sunnah. You've seemed to grab or latch on to one aspect of this deen above all, and that is the aspect of da'wah. When you read about Islam, say we open a book, da'wah usually isn't in chapter 1 of what Islam is or what a Muslim is. It's in there, maybe number 9 or 10 after the, you know, the basic. What made you pick this part of the religion, focus on it, and dedicate your life to working for it?
From hearing many scholar, inviter, shiuch, learned people, from traveling and see the condition of the ummah, the condition of individual, I discover the majority do not know the basic and the basis of this message. And I discover and I believe the majority of Muslim learn it and not learn it. They too far of understanding the message, to the point their talk full of knowledge, but the knowledge is educational. And I look to the average people. The average people is not a student of knowledge. They only need somebody to wake them up, to encourage them, to remind them. And when I look in the Quran and Hadith, I find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a da'iyah. He came as an inviter. Inviter to Allah, not inviter to halal and haram or regulation. And I discover the essence of da'wah and the meaning of da'wah, which is the mother of all good deed, the one it can build your iman. And once your iman is built and developed, the rest is easy. It's almost considered the pillar, the main pillar of a house. Without it, you're not going anywhere. And I look to the market, and may Allah forgive me, it's almost empty. The majority of Ummah do not know the essence of their message. What is the message all about? And the more I read about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a message, the more I believe we are too far from the message. And I felt somebody has to do it. And this became beloved to me. And little by little I find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take me to this route. And the more I do, the more I make effort, the more I believe in the message more and more. We have to develop the pillar of Iman. And this by da'wah to Allah, to the oneness of Allah, to believe in Allah, to trust in Allah, to rely on Allah, to love Allah, to be devoted and sincere to Allah. And this is not easy. And this I find the majority of people is empty. It's so empty. The majority of Muslim Ummah came from colonialism after 200-300 years to 400 years of colonialism. Meaning we never really have the essence of Islam. Somebody has to do it. And this where I choose this particular era, because I find out is nobody's doing it. I did not see it until now. Nobody talked to people about the basis of the message. What it means. Nobody is doing da'wah to Allah. The majority of people, the majority of shuyukh and scholar is doing educational. It's almost like the Muslim in the front of them is already ready for that. And this is where I came from. And I read in the Quran, Surah Fussilat, verse 33. And Ala Imran, 110. And Ala Imran 104, and all the hadith, and I came to a conclusion, I won't be the one. I won't be the one to call Allah. To when I die, and I meet Allah, I said, Allah, I call the people for you, only for you. And also something a lot of people do not know. When you believe in Allah, when you understand what it meaning to be a Muslim, the rest will be developed little by little. But if I develop with you the knowledge of ritual, and you do not have the essence of the message, the meaning of the message, it becomes very difficult to continue. By this way, I have a goal. The goal is to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in da'wah in Mecca. To give da'wah to Allah only. And if you look in the Quran, 2/3 of the Quran is Makki, meaning revealed in Mecca. What it mean? 2/3 of the Quran talk about the oneness of Allah. The history of mankind. The history of mankind as a nation, as an individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hammer and emphasize one message. Who are you? Who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what kind of relationship between us? And if this developed, if this not will be developed, we cannot continue. And this where I decided, this is my topic. And I will not leave it until I die, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open for me and for all mankind.
I mean, now just a quick recap that, if you will, just to bring everything we discussed together. Young man comes from Egypt without any religious schooling, comes to America for a change, somewhat acquires the American dream in that gets married, has a house, good job, wealth, floats into dunya, his roots kick in, as you said earlier. Allah calls him, he drifts, Allah calls him, he gets signs. You've had so many experiences. You've made personal sacrifices in your life. You've dedicated your life to spreading Islam. You go to a masjid, they give you an opportunity to speak. from there, you speak. Allah opens for you more opportunities, more people. You've traveled the world, spreading this message. How long has it been now? From the beginning to now, how many years would you say?
From late 80? How many are now? Believe me, I stopped calculating. Around 25 or 20?
In those 25 years, or 20 years as you say, like human nature, there were ups, there were downs, there was joy, there was hardship, I'm sure there were trials. Can you give me, in the 20 years of your journey, of delivering your message, of spreading Islam, of inviting to Allah, what was your highest point? And what was your lowest point?
Highest point is da'wah. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use me, every time I feel I helping anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim, anyone get impacted by me, encouraged by me, I feel honor, I feel thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my highest. To feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my effort. What's the lowest? The lowest, when I give da'wah to people, I invite them, and after they get the message, they go astray again. This scare me. Scare me, and I worry about it by myself. It's not the finance. It's not where I live. I've been through all this, but this doesn't bother me. The only thing bother me, if Allah snatch my guidance away from me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not make me continue and die in a state of inviting to Allah. This is my worry and this my fear.
Has anyone ever reverted to Islam based on, well, obviously Allah's guidance, but you delivering the message, you inviting them? Has anyone taken their shahada?
Sure, alhamdulillah. I've been almost many years begging Allah. I tell him, Allah, if you're going to take me, if I'm going to die, don't take me until I make one person embrace Islam. If you make me or use me to guide one person by your will, after that you can take me, Allah. I'm ready. And after that I become hungry, one after another. And I used to live in a journey. I used to calculate, one embrace Islam with me, two embrace Islam with me, three embrace Islam with me. And after a while, 35 embrace Islam with me, 110, 120. And honest to Allah, around 200 and something, I forget to calculate. And after that, by the will of Allah, I do not calculate anymore. I said, Allah, you calculate for me.
May Allah accept.
Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen.
Leading me to my next question. Now, obviously, I've been focusing on, throughout this interview, the fact that you give someone hope that you don't have to be a student in an institute of higher learning. You can be, you know, the person next door. And you can change your life. You give an average person hope. And that was the purpose of this interview. Now, you're a human being. We've talked about some of the experiences in your life, which many of us experience. as a human being, you must have desires. You must have doubts, setbacks, sad moments. You must have moments in life that say, am I doing, is it worth it what I'm doing? Is it worth it what I've sacrificed in my life? Is what I'm doing correct? How do you feel in these moments in life, if they do exist, and how do you come out of them?
I never have that.
Really?
Never. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, I used to have that, but this like 28 years ago. But after my journey of Iman and my journey of Dawah to Allah, whatever happened to me, I believe without no doubt, whatever happened for the best of me, but I do not know. I trust in Allah. I rely on Allah. I see what Allah is doing with me. He close and He open. He open and He close. With a time and a plan, I do not know. I only surrender. I only trust. Only trust is enough for me. And after that, the only setback if I do not work enough. If I feel I'm going to die and I do not please Allah. If I'm going to die and do not do my job. I do not do enough. This is the only setback. But when you believe in Allah and you work for Allah, you do not worry about anything else. And you always believe, like the early people used to say, which is something so beautiful. Allah will never take from you except to give you. Allah will never take from you except to give you. By this way, every time Allah closes a door, I can feel a door is ready to be opened and bigger than the one has been closed. And when you experience that, you develop the trust and rely on Allah. And this is a power. This is my power.
Do you feel you were given a gift? And if so, why?
After I study what I study and listen to whom I listen, from all the scholars and everybody, I remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the best things I say, me and all messenger and prophet before me, La ilaha illallah. Is no one worthy of worship except Allah. This is the highest message. This is the highest things you can say. You can believe with it. And I believe if you hold tight and you want to elevate the name of Allah and you want to spread the rahmah, the mercy and light and wisdom of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you. He support you. He guard you. Even if you commit sins or try to commit sins, He will save you. And if you desire something, He support you. And He give you whatever you like and more. And if you're going to fall down or feel weak, He support you by open for you in the right time, in the right place to show you His power and support. By this way, is a journey. It's a journey of Iman with Allah. And whoever experiences it, he will be content, happy, strong, no doubt, no weakness, no setback, always going up.
I'd like to conclude with one final question. And I thank you for your time and your honesty throughout this interview, even though some of my questions were a little odd. But my final question is, how can someone become Ahmed Mu'id? How can an average person an average Muslim living in dunya changes life and work for Allah. A person with a job, a person with a wife, with kids, with a home, an average person like so many of us are. Does the change have to come from Allah? What would be your best advice for someone to change their life, to be a real Muslim, to dedicate their life to Allah, the hereafter, and possibly be an inviter to Allah? How can someone be Ahmed Mu'id?
I wish, inshallah, you will not be Ahmed Mu'id. I wish you will be much, much better, higher, accepted more than Ahmed Mu'id. Ahmed Mu'id is a sinner, is weak. He's just trying. I wish you, inshallah, to be better than me, much, much higher. Always have the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the example, not me. But about your question, number one, an honest, sincere begging Allah to open for you. An honest, sincere, you want the job. And it has to be with belief, without no doubt. You cannot get a job in this earth better than that. You cannot. You cannot. Allah, like I said in Surah Fussilat, verse 33, He challenged all mankind. Who is better talker than the one he talk about Allah? By this way, I decided long time ago, I do not want to work for nobody except Allah. I do not want to be busy with anyone except Allah. During this journey, yes, Allah will take material life from you, status. You have to be willing to give anything or everything you have to get the job. And when I look to the Prophet and messengers, all of them, and the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, you find all of them has one thing in common. They have to go through what called waqf al-tarbiyah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala check you out. If you water and you supply your dua with action, with sacrificing of your money, wealth, time, love, devotion, and you keep begging Allah, as soon or later, Allah will open for you. But my advice to you, which I saw it in my life, and this is a gift from Allah, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, is one or once Allah take a piece of dunya from you, don't make your turn. Don't stop. Keep going in your job. Dunya come and go. Material life always will keep changing. But your goal, your duty, your job, your desire to be a worker of Allah should not be changed. And this is the hardest part I find the majority of people. They won't grab both. It will never happen. It will never happen. I did not see it. You have to water one to get it.
I thank you, Da'i, for your time and honesty throughout this interview. I thank our listeners and our viewers. And I'd just like the viewers to leave this interview with the message of there is hope. In other words, there's no magic here. This man started just like we all started. Humble beginnings, dunya. There was a change, there was an awakening. Long road, and he's become the man you see today. So there is hope. So I hope you leave this interview with the message of we can be, you can be, I can be. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with barakah and qabool and nur and wisdom in this meeting and what we say. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you and accept all of you to be inviter to Allah, worker for Allah. We live with it, we die with it, we resurrect it with it, inshaAllah.
Ameen.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.